Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, Bradley. How are you today?
Hey, good. Just an important reminder I just realized. Make sure you put on your headphones.
I got them on already.
All right, good. I forgot about that. So what's up, buddy?
Not too much. It's a sunny afternoon, and I'm getting all fired up for summer. It's really feels more like summer than spring.
All right, say that again. I just had to put on my headphones.
Oh, no, I'm just saying that it's really been quite lovely these past few days. It's, like, all sunny and feels like summer's here.
Hell yeah, man. How is Agent Cody Banks doing?
Oh, he's doing good. I took him for a nice little stroll. And
very nice, very nice.
I told him, got to go do a podcast with Bradley, so...
So you're just here. Very nice.
I'm here, and he's not. This is VIP members only, right, Bradley?
Right. So, how about Marguerite Tyrell, man?
Whoo! Oh my god, like...
Hello.
First off, like, what a waste, you know, like, in terms of, like, Renly not being able to, you know, make good use of his time with such a lovely young lady.
Yeah. Get ready for some Game of Thrones spoilers. Is that okay if I spoil it for you, Doug?
You can spoil it for me, Bradley.
So, after Renly dies in the second season, then in kind of the end of the second season, she gets engaged to
Joffrey. Oh my god!
And then at the end of the third book, Joffrey gets killed at the wedding. After they actually get married, but before Joffrey does the deed. So guess who she gets engaged to next?
Who does she get engaged to?
Tommen.
Oh. That's quite an age difference. Oh.
Yeah.
At least with the actors on the show. I don't know, like, they've been making some variations,
Well, yeah, because, like, making Sansa be 14 through all of this is kind of weird.
Yeah. Personally, the variation I was most disappointed in is that we didn't get to see Maester Pycelle's dong get chopped off by Shaga.
Oh, I'm not missing seeing General Veers' dong.
But, you know, we can see...
You realize that, right? That the guy who plays Pycelle is General Veers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they could use, like, a prosthetic or something like that.
Yeah, poor Shaga.
I mean, like, granted, like, okay, maybe it's happening off-camera, like, when they put him in the dungeon, but, like, personally, like, if we can see guys get their heads chopped off in Game of Thrones, like, we should at least be able to see some guy get his cock removed with an axe.
Yeah, you could swear, Doug.
Yeah.
That's just, poof, man, I was just like, what the hell, man, like, I mean, I remember reading that just like, dude... Don't do that to Pycelle. I mean, like, he's a little dick, but... and he gets his chopped off.
3/4 of it chopped off.
Oh, man.
That's gotta hurt.
It's a different kind of eunuch than Varys, though.
Yeah. I personally wouldn't want either of that to happen. Like, those are not good fates.
No, nothing that involves cutting in the man zone is a good thing.
Yeah, maybe they'll explain, like, maybe they'll get into this in the show, but, you know, when they were going into how Varys became a eunuch, that was, like, terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, like, where they probably tied off his nuts and then chopped them off.
That story was absolutely, like, horrific.
Yeah, I forget exactly what that story was.
Just that basically, like, he was in this traveling circus of actors, if you will, and then his master, basically sold Varys' balls to, like, a sorcerer, and he cut off the balls, and he started cooking them, and then Varys heard, like, voices in the testicles, and so I guess maybe that's how he became a magic man after that.
Is Varys a magic man?
I think he's got some kind of power.
Alright. See, one of the cool things that they've got going on is that, you've noticed that, like, this season on Game of Thrones, there's a lot more magic than there used to be.
Yep.
And, what was it, the maester in Winterfell, I forget his name?
Luwin,
that he was saying that, like, when the dragons left the world, the magic left too.
Yeah.
Now that the dragons are back, the magic's coming back.
Oh, yeah, and, like, it's funny because, like, they were talking about the wildfire, the I guess Westeros' equivalent of napalm with Tyrion. And he's just like, how are you bringing... Like, you estimated there were only 10,000 jars of wildfire. You'd only be able to make, like, a few hundred, and you're making a few thousand. Like, how, like, are you tricking me or something? Were you, like, messing with my head before? Like, were you playing a game with me? They're like, no, like, we're, you know, like, maybe the dragons have come back into this world because, like, you know, the wildfire spell books were, you know, written when the dragons were there, and they're following the instructions exactly, and for some reason it's working out better than... it has in a long time. And Tyrion's like, well, I haven't seen any dragons flying over my city lately, so.
Gotta love Tyrion.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
All right. So you know how basically Stannis Baratheon, or Melisandre, like when she does her whole magic and the shadow comes out, the shadow that killed Renly and the shadow that takes over Storm's End, did she steal his Stannis's shadow, like when he pulled it out of the fire and that he cast no shadow?
Oh, maybe. I was thinking it was maybe the, because of the way it came out, that it was the result of, the union on the table.
Yeah, like, maybe, like, the more he gives a piece of him to her, and she takes a little piece of him and puts it back into the world. I don't know.
Yeah. As a fandom that kills Renly.
Yeah, and... whoever was holding Storm's End.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so they get Edric Storm.
Yeah. I think it would have been so much cooler if Jason Statham played Stannis Baratheon, because like, they're always talking about him like grinding his teeth and like his jaw. Like...
yeah, the thing is with that, is that he's supposed to be like not... Yeah. He's not supposed to be cool in any sense.
He belongs in Downton Abbey, basically.
Yeah. I'm very hesitant to watch Downton Abbey now that you've
They should call it Downton Boredom. I'm so sorry for Downton Abbey fans out there. Like, there are a lot, and I, believe it or not, made it through 2 seasons, and that was, like...
You remember what my dad said about Gravity's Rainbow?
I do remember. Why don't you remind me what your dad said about Gravity's Rainbow?
Oh, he said that, overall, the, that in Gravity, that like, it seems like a very good book, but there's just not enough time in the world to deal with having to read through the whole thing. Like, it's exposition on bananas or something, as I recall. I go, I'm out. Like, I was like 50 pages into Gravity's Rainbow out of 900 something. I was just like, I'm out.
I'm tapping out. Yeah, do you remember what you said about, Okay, I'll never forget when we were like coming back from the beach and we see your dad asleep with Gravity's Rainbow on his chest.
Yeah.
And you're like, it looks like the only gravity that happened was to dad's eyes.
Yep, to his eyelids.
Oh, that's such a perfect moment, just like seeing him asleep with Gravity's Rainbow.
That pretty much exactly described how I felt about that book. It's like watching golf.
wait, C-SPAN too.
Oh, whoa. Remember when we watched the Libertarian Convention on C-SPAN?
Yeah, I do actually. That was Bar Root,
and what was his name? Mike Gravel was trying to sneak in there.
Yeah, and they had like some actual legitimate like lady candidate who didn't get the
pick. Oh yeah, she was awesome. What was her name? Like Mary Ruart.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty awesome.
Yeah, she was pretty cool.
I was a Mary Ruart fan.
Yeah, she was cool. Not a big fan of Barr's mustache, though.
I am a fan of Bob Barr's mustache.
Oh, well, I guess we can agree to disagree, but...
Yeah, not a fan of Bob Barr, fan of the mustache.
Ah, oh, fair enough. Wasn't it, like, a different color than his hair?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah. He definitely was wearing a hairpiece.
Not like William Shatner.
Not like William Shatner.
Apparently Sean Connery wore a hairpiece during James Bond. I'm not...
Oh, don't say things like that, Doug.
You gotta love Sean Connery.
Yeah, I just watched the Hunt for Red October the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I'll tell you what, it's better than the Hunt for Mitt Romney. All right, there's an old thing that Doug and I watched. It was on like HBO or something. It was like a comedy special with a comedian doing like historical jokes, and he was making fun of Nathaniel Hawthorne's book about Franklin Pierce, if I recall.
Oh, yeah, it was, like, such a self-indulgent biography.
Yeah, and so there would be, like, if one of his examples of other of things that were in a similar vein to Nathaniel Hawthorne writing Franklin Pierce's biography in the late 1840s would have been the equivalent of, like, Tom Clancy writing The Hunt for Mitt Romney. Or Dennis Kucinich and The Sorcerer's Stone, and a few others like that.
Totally.
There's probably some mean one about Joe Biden.
Probably.
Not a lot of jokes in favor of Joe Biden, mostly at his expense.
Hey, Bradley.
What's up?
So, I was reading in Clash of Kings when Daenerys goes into the Hall of the Undying Ones, and she comes to the room with she sees the visions of events that have happened, and events that will happen in the future.
Oh, boy.
First off, I'm really anxious to see how that plays off in the show, because, like, I think that the image of, like, Aerys the Mad King, like, with, like, the babies, and him talking about, like, the three dragons, like, that was just such a cool image. Like, you know, it's, like, old man with, like, wiry hair. It's, like, I don't know, I just think that was, like, cool, but, you know, it almost makes you wonder, like, you know, if by the end of this series, like, they're gonna be, like, three Targaryens, in power, or three rulers. You know, the dragons are coming back, and there are three dragons, so, I don't know, Daenerys and maybe there are two other Targaryens out there. Like, maybe they, like, in Return of the, not Return of the Jedi, but in Star Wars, like, they had to split up Luke and Leia to prevent them from being hunted down by the dark side, so maybe they had to do this. They had some kind of, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda that split up the babies there.
Well, if you don't mind me spoiling the fifth book for you, Doug.
Spoil away.
They did find at least one other Targaryen.
At least one other.
Well, they found another Targaryen at this point.
And
who has invaded Westeros?
Oh. Do you know what this Targaryen's name is?
He's Rhaegar's son, and Daenerys is Rhaegar's sister. But this guy's Rhaegar's son.
And you think that maybe, just pure speculation, Jon Snow is related to the Targaryens?
Yes, I think he is.
I mean, somebody had asked me, like, why that is. Like, because I had said, like, oh, from Brad, you know, he's got a theory that Lyanna Stark is... Aegon.
There's lots of Aegon Targaryens, but he would have been Aegon the Sixth.
Yeah, I mean, Aegon the Conqueror is the guy who sailed from, was it Dragonport to Westeros and created the dynasty of the Targaryens?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's lots of Targaryens running around.
But do you want to, I just think it's such a compelling theory, like the most compelling theory, like I've heard about Game of Thrones, is that, you know, why do you think that Jon Snow is actually related to Lyanna Stark and Rhaegar, or am I getting it wrong? But, like, why do you think he's a Targaryen? It's a really great theory, and I'm very compelled.
So basically, it starts with the hypothesis that they wouldn't keep Jon Snow's mom a secret is for so long if it wasn't important.
Mm-hmm.
Basic literary fact that, like, it's five books in, and they're still kind of gamey on it.
It's quite a devil and quite a detail,
right? Considering how important Jon Snow is. And so you got that for starters, and you got the other fact that Ned Stark's actually a decent dude. So, like, the only undecent thing he seems to do is father a bastard child. So that goes against his character completely. And so that's the second part of the theory. Third part of the theory is that, there's a tournament. I think they'll talk about this in the season of Game of Thrones. They have a big tournament before the... that is the reason that the rebellion starts in the first place, that Robert's rebellion starts in the first place, is because of the events at this tournament. So we know how Robert's, like, in love with this... with Ned's sister, right?
Right.
And so Robert's there, Ned's father, Ned's brother, Ned's sister are there. I think Stannis is there.
Probably not having a great time.
Yeah, I don't know about Renly being there, but Stannis is there. Jaime and Cersei are there, Tywin's there, just like every single person's there that you can imagine. And it's at Harrenhal, which I talked about. And I think the Mad King's there too. And most importantly, the Mad King's eldest son, Rhaegar, is there. And so Rhaegar is in this tournament, and I believe Rhaegar wins by beating Jaime, is I think how it goes, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Rhaegar definitely wins the tournament. Let me just look that up real quick. But
Rhaegar, this would be such a great scene, like, to watch on film.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. And it's, like, a super epic tournament.
Do you think they'd get Sean Bean to reprise his role for this, or they'd get some other younger person?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Sean Bean would probably be too old, but All right, I'm trying to find... and Rhaegar was engaged to... At one point, Rhaegar was engaged to Cersei, but that's not important. And Rhaegar is at this point married and has children with a princess from Dorne, which they just mentioned on the show. And so Rhaegar wins the tournament, and he decided that he was going to... but before I get there, let's see. Champion was Rhaegar Targaryen, and in the process, he beat Brandon Stark, who's Ned's brother. He beat one of the guys who you've run into in the Vale with the Arryns. He beat a guy from, I think it's the, who's now in the Night's Watch, and... He also beat, if you remember the old guy who's in charge of the Kingsguard?
Barristan Selmy?
Yes. So he beat him too. So that's just the background there.
That must just goes to show you how much of a fierce warrior Robert Baratheon is, the fact that he, it's like, remember you were explaining the Worf effect? Like, you know, yes. Worf is such a, like, yeah, it's kind of like this. Like, you see the Worf effect, the fact that you have this champion, Rhaegar, who's been able to beat all these, like, esteemed warriors, and yet, like, Robert smashes his chest in at the trident with a hammer.
Yeah, that's...
Wait, do you want to explain what the Worf effect is? That's a brilliant metaphor, or literary term that you coined.
I didn't coin it. It's from TV Tropes.
Oh, okay.
Is where I got it. I don't know where it was really coined. But the Worf effect, essentially, on Star Trek, you know that Worf is, like, the most powerful person on the Enterprise, and he can beat up anybody if he wants to. So when they want to reveal how big a threat is, the threat beats up Worf. And so, you know, it's like there's an episode where a Borg beams aboard the Enterprise, and Worf goes over to punch him, and the Borg just one hit knocks out Worf and throws him across the room in the process. And so it's like, oh, this guy's a big bad problem because even Worf can't beat him up. And as a result, you know, they have to make the threats look tangible, because the threat can't be, oh, Worf's just going to go beat him up now. Like, that can't be the solution in every episode. So you end up actually seeing Worf get his ass kicked, like, every single episode. And that's the Worf effect, yes.
And the Worf effect is obviously, just to, you know, is used to describe, you know, how, you know, Rhaegar, this great warrior, meets his match by Robert. And that just goes to show how Robert, it must be, like, an incredible, like...
Yes.
Like, you don't mess with him, kind of.
Yeah. All right, so in this tournament, Rhaegar wins. And I guess the thing is that he gets to declare someone as his queen of love and beauty. And basically, over the course of the tournament, he falls in love with Ned's sister, Lyanna, who Robert is also in love with and is engaged to. But they're not married. And so Rhaegar absconds with Lyanna Stark, and they disappear for a while. And basically, at the end of the war, Ned finds Lyanna dying, and she says, "Promise me, Ned," is all that you really get out of it. I forget, there's someone there who's still alive who is there for this scene. She says, "Promise me, Ned," and Ned says, "Yeah, okay," you know, that he accepts the promise. And then cut to later, he takes Jon Snow back from the war with him. So I think that somewhere along the lines, perhaps Lyanna is impregnated by Rhaegar and Jon Snow is their son.
And there's lots of blood.
And that's not original speculation by me, but I won't take credit for being original on that, but it just makes a lot of sense when I heard about it.
And plus, when you hear what Ned says about how horrified he is that they killed the Targaryen children and how the reason why he didn't want to side with Renly after Robert died was because he didn't like the idea that Joffrey and the children might end up possibly, maybe, sort of getting murdered. So it kind of makes sense in that capacity. Ned has been known to lie before, too. Like, we see him lie on several different occasions.
Yes, definitely.
You know, he doesn't tell Robert the truth about, his children, his quote-unquote heirs. You know, he tells Jaime that he had ordered Tyrion to be kidnapped by Catelyn when Catelyn just kind of did her own thing, and... he lied that he had committed treason, so, I mean, it almost makes sense that he would, he's an honorable guy, but he does, lie if he thinks mm-hmm. that if it serves doing the right thing, I guess, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I have to be honest, Game of Thrones is something I kind of, hated, or wanted to hate, and now it's, I've mm-hmm. fallen in love with it, so... just so many great stories, great characters, and, the writing's pretty decent, actually. It's effective, and so, it's... And this season's been really good. I'm enjoying Clash of Kings. I've got about 300 pages left, which is, almost nothing when you think,
Yeah. It's a pretty, pretty awesome book.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty stoked about that. Let's see, what else, do you have to talk about? We got to plan the podcast out, Doug.
Got to plan the podcast, which we, drum roll, Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah, we're going to do Tyrion. Okay, so let's see.
Well, we've already done one Hand of the King in Game of Thrones. It makes sense we would do a second Hand of the King.
Right, and the king shits the hand of wipes.
Yeah, and when Joffrey is the king, you have to wipe a lot of shit. You have to take out a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
Judging by the food riots and the it's like, it's a mess, King's Landing.
Yeah. It certainly is. Yeah. And so let's see, I guess for the podcast strictly that we're gonna do, we wanna try to not spoil anything that's not already been on TV.
Even though we kind of
spoiled something. We're gonna cut this into two parts.
Totally. No spoilers. I'm not even done with the book yet, so it's there's so much that I can spoil. But yeah, no worries. No spoilers.
Big bucks, no whammies.
Indeed.
So how epic is the Jar Jar cast going to be?
It's honestly going to be it's going to be our magnum opus. One of our many, I hope, but it's definitely going to be, a great masterwork of ours.
Yeah, because I was just looking through our texts to each other, which are always amazing to go back and read through.
Good times.
So I think we talked about doing Dagny.
Dagny Taggart from Atlas Shrugged. Sounds good.
Jar Jar. Colonel Hogan.
Oh, Colonel Hogan, that's... How serious are we going to be? I know that we're going to be very serious at certain points, which is why it's even going to be that much of a bigger joke. So
right, because he's doing his part to save the world from Nazis by doing damage on the inside. I think has the POW game covered a lot worse than Bob Crane and Colonel Hogan.
Who?
Lewis Stone.
Oh man, He tried. He was about as cool as Karth Onassis from KOTOR. Onassi. I'm sorry, I was thinking of the other Onassis. Maybe
I'd say not Mary. Karth is not descended from a Greek shipper.
Exactly.
Who is this Jacqueline Onassis?
Oh, that's hysterical. Gotta love Dr. Girlfriend.
Yeah. She would make a really good podcast, but unfortunately, our audience is not exactly Venture Bros lovers, as we have found out.
Who cares? This is so indulgent anyway.
Yeah. The more self-indulgent, the better, in this case, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Especially because Dr. Girlfriend knows about the Corbomite maneuver.
Yeah. Yeah, like, any... It's if a really fine lady mentions the Corbinite maneuver, you propose to her right then and there.
On the spot.
Yeah, this one time I met
any someone. Fine ladies out there who know what the Corbinite maneuver is, you know how to get a hold of me.
Exactly. I'll be in my bunk.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. But yeah, there's this one time where I met somebody who like said that her favorite book was Time Enough for Love and that she loves Ray Bradbury, and I was like, will you marry me? Like, no, seriously, like, will you marry me? Like, I'm actually proposing to you right now, so. Still haven't gotten a reply yet. Oh, well.
That's too bad. And did you just, like, meet this girl? Like, it wasn't, like, somebody you knew. This was just, like, you just met them.
Oh, yeah. It was a joke, but still, like, you know, there are certain moments in life where you must yield to temptation because it might not pass your way again. And...
Yes. That's what you should have told her, Doug.
Oh, damn it. Oh, well.
She said, you know what Rhineland says. Yeah. Or you know what Lazarus Lott says. Always yield to temptation.
Might never pass your way again. Ugh. Oh, indeed. Oh, how great is the Avengers going to be? I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked. Although they're originally apparently going to have like a scene where Captain America gets a little political. And I was like, I'm glad they took that out.
Yeah, his name is Captain America. That's political enough. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it should stop there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to Tony Stark especially.
Yeah, Tony Stark. Oh, man, my buddy just sent me a site.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. I don't know if I should mention it, but I'll send it to you later.
Okay.
It's the one good thing hipsters have ever done for society, is the way he put it.
Dare I ask what that is, or
I'll send it to you like in Skype, and you can decide what you want to say about it.
All right, no, that sounds good to me. I was at this like kind of like outdoor festival in Brooklyn like the other day, and like I was
did
like
you get
waiting.
My link?
Oh yeah, I did.
Okay.
Like this hipster cut in line in me, and I was just like, "Damn hipster!
Damn hipsters!"
This is a great link, Bradley.
All right.
Yeah, this is a great link. Maybe we should. All right, I have an idea. Maybe we could attach this link on the podcast thing, just like NSFW, and you know, here's the answer to the one good thing that hipsters have done.
Yes, the one good thing that hipsters have done.
Like when you attach the Lazarus Long notebooks. Like we'll do that now, or maybe that's a good idea to save it for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope this site updates.
I hope so too. But yeah, totally. Absolutely, Bradley.
Douglas just bookmarked it.
Thank you, Bradley.
I'll be in my bunk.
Be in my bunk.
Have you actually made you watch Firefly yet?
Unfortunately, no, you haven't.
Oh, I'll make you watch Firefly this summer.
Yeah, I got this like one... I told
you about that one line, though.
Yeah, you've told me. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Bradley.
Oh, so Doug.
So, Brad.
I think I found somewhere online on YouTube the milk and cookies conversation from Batman.
Yeah.
Which is still the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Man cannot live on crime fighting alone.
No, man cannot. Oh, man. We have to do something from those old Batmans.
Oh, yeah. No, not totally.
I mean, if we could do a Police Chief O'Hara podcast.
Oh, boy. Well, if we can do a Mr. Slave or an old Greg podcast, then I think we should be able to do a Chief O'Hara podcast.
Yeah, please, Chief O'Hara. Is there a more worthless character in the history of TV? Like, have you ever seen him do any police work?
Aunt Harriet's pretty useless.
Yeah, but at least Aunt Harriet's job isn't to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have a job. Aunt Harriet's job is to pester Bruce and Dick.
Oh my god.
Whereas Police Chief O'Hara's job is nominally to be a policeman. And to be a good one. And really his only solution to the problem is, let's call Batman.
Yeah, it's like, if it wasn't for O'Hara, do you think that they would have made the call to Batman?
Like, it's not that tough of a, you know, because sometimes, you know, like, oh, there's been a rash of, you know, thefts across the city. What are we going to do? Call Batman. I guess it wouldn't make for an exciting show, the police of Gotham.
I like what you had sent about Batman.
GCPD, that's my new show, GCPD Blue.
What you gonna do when they come for you?
We can even get Jimmy Smits for it.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Alright, anything with Jimmy Smits is good.
Except for Attack of the Clones. And Revenge of the Sith.
We'll throw on Jimmy Smits on those, except you go, hey, look, it's Jimmy Smits.
My wife and I always wanted a girl. Is Jeremy Smits the only married man in Star Wars?
Oh yeah, if you haven't seen those Plinkett reviews, they are amazing.
Definitely a formative influence, I would say, on us.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, absolutely.
That was a fantastic... Just when you said it, right, because they're also talking about, like, the dating world of Star Wars. If Padme's like, you know, you're a Jedi and I'm a senator. Wait, senators can't date? I mean, like, oh my god, that is just ridiculous. Like, the only married man. It's true, though. Like, in all six movies, he's the only married man that you come across.
Yeah, it's... He's the only one who's married. That's sad.
Yeah, well, I mean, to a certain extent, you don't need superfluous stuff for the sake of being superfluous. Like, who cares if General Riken is married?
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, it's still kind of weird. Oh, by the way, if you watch Fawlty Towers...
Yeah.
They've got some episode. I think it's called The Waldorf Salad is the name of the episode. And there's a annoying American customer who comes in. And it's played by General Riken.
Oh, wow.
And it's almost as good as seeing General Veers crop up in Game of Thrones. Seeing General Riken in Fawlty Towers.
Oh, yeah.
I guess Fawlty Towers would have been from before... whatchamacallit, Empire Strikes Back, so... But still, it's General Riken, something that's not Star Wars.
It's always nice when that happens.
Yeah, unfortunately, Admiral Akbar was a radio host.
Really?
Yeah, and he doesn't even remember doing it.
Radio or Admiral Akbar?
Well, I mean, the guy who... the voice actor.
Yeah.
It's not like the guy sits in a squid outfit and does radio.
Maybe he was,
The nice thing about the spoken mediums that Doug and I are doing is it's kind of like being governor in Blazing Saddles. Pants optional.
That's the best. That should almost be like our tagline, pants optional.
Yeah, it sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, a little weird, but I appreciate that. I'm wearing pants right now, unfortunately.
Same here. That's because I just got back from a busy day of working and schooling.
Bradley, that's working hard.
Mm-hmm. I'm TCBing, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just a little news. I had recently got, hired to this tutoring center, so I'm going to, like, an orientation on Thursday, so, fun employment is about to come to an end, unfortunately.
Oh, that's so sad. That means you're not going to be at the beach as much.
I will. We'll see how tutoring works out. But, yeah.
Who are you going to tutor?
I got to, like, get hooked up with, like, a student or whatever. Like, so, I don't... I honestly like gonna find out more on Thursday. Like, so
awesome.
But so, I'd get,
how was your play date yesterday?
My play date was just fine, Bradley.
Glad to hear it. Because I wanted to podcast with you yesterday, and you said you had a play date, so.
Yeah, no, I wanted to I always want to podcast with you. I'm having the time of my life podcasting with you.
Yeah, I understand. Sometimes the play date's more important.
Sometimes it's... I happen to be at the play date when you had texted, so it was just the way it worked out, so.
Yes. Got TCB, Doug.
But, you know, I'm making time for the podcast right now, so I'm really happy to be here. I'm excited. Really can't wait to talk about Tyrion.
All right, so let's talk about Tyrion. Do we even want to, like, we can just acknowledge it, we're going to just split now, we don't even have to talk about it in advance, like, plan, do you think?
Just, like, keep going with it, you mean?
Yeah, then I'll just cut it at this point, and we'll call it podcast official starting at some point.
All right, sounds good.
All right, so, ready? 3, 2, 1. Let's do the intro, Doug.
All right. So 3, 2, 1, go.